You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Everybody, welcome to the Paranormal Portal Podcast. I'm your host, Brent Thomas, and I'm absolutely thrilled you guys are here with us. Thank you so much for being here and being a part of the shows. I am not alone here. I have my good friend and co-host, Mr. Don Longbeard, with me.
And as long as I'm around, you never will be alone, my friend.
That's what I'm going for. I need that support. The support helps. Go. And it's always good to have someone to talk to. Otherwise, you know, I've done plenty of solo shows, but I got to tell you, it's a lot more fun when you're here and we can talk. We can have a discussion. Otherwise, it's just me reading stuff. And even if I find something funny, I feel stupid laughing to myself, you know?
Yeah, I understand.
So it really helps that I've got someone here to laugh with. So I appreciate it. And as always, I mean, you bring a lot to the show, and I really appreciate when you can be here and bring that to every show that you're on. So thank you, brother.
All right. You're welcome.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we got a great show lined up for you. But before we go there, I just want to say, if you have an experience of your very own that you'd like to submit for use on the show for us to read and share with our other listeners, please feel free to email us at paranormalportalradio@gmail.com. We would love to hear your account, and we'd love to share it with the rest of the listeners out there. And perhaps even if you've got an account that you'd like to come on the podcast and discuss, we can probably make that happen as well. So those are always options, but reach out to us via email and we will see which avenue you want to take. Don, tonight's show, I think, will be a real fun one. It's kind of a creepy one at the same time, though.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Tonight we're going to talk about skinwalkers, ladies and gentlemen.
Skinwalkers.
Now, nice. There's a lot of superstition that goes along with this. And I don't mean superstition in a real degrading way, but in the First Nation communities, the whole idea around skinwalkers is very sacred, and it's not something to be trifled with. They are very guarded and very, very hush hush about stories of the skinwalkers in those cultures. Are you aware of that, Don?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. As a matter of fact, they're pretty hush-hush about everything, especially, you know, and you can add in, of course, Sasquatch or Bigfoot into that, I'm sure.
Yeah, that is true. But I think with the difference between that and skinwalkers, though, is that there seems to be a magic surrounding the skinwalker, in that they feel, and this is as it's been explained to me by our First Nation friends, is that even mentioning it is a liability. And can potentially cause you problems. And so Just you know, put it out there as a caveat: the Paranormal Portal makes no claims, I just don't want any evil spirits to feel disrespected by our discussion. But this is a paranormal show, and so I don't want any skinwalkers coming by the house and eating my cat or anything, you know. But it's really a very real fear in the native circles, and so we are doing the show. We're doing it respectfully, though. I hope. I mean, we may chuckle and laugh, but that's just because we're always dorky like that. We try to have fun during doing the show. Some people have taken umbrage with that, and ladies and gentlemen, honest to God, Don and I are never meaning to be disrespectful to anybody that's been through something horrible, had a bad experience, and it takes umbrage with the fact that we may, make light of things.
Right.
We're not making light of things to mock anyone or anything that they've experienced. But what we are doing is trying to present the material in a fun way that's not so dark and threatening and doomy and macabre. We just like to have a good conversation about a topic that we're both really passionate about, and we know you are out there too. So please understand, ladies and gentlemen, every once in a while I'll get an email where somebody has felt really hurt by that. And it really hurts me, because that's never our intent, to offend or degrade anybody. There's just some topics that are paranormal that are just, sometimes that's almost the only way we can discuss it, is to try to make a little light of it, because otherwise it's just an absolute tragedy and terrible. And I don't know. Am I making sense, Don?
Yeah. It's just kind of a disclaimer that, we have fun with it and we don't mean to be overly offensive. Sometimes it comes out that way and we do apologize, but sometimes it happens. So
it does, but it's never meant in bad taste or anything. It's just meant that we're just trying to, it's either you laugh or you cry, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And so I choose to laugh as much as I can. So,
yeah.
But tonight we're going to talk about the skinwalkers, and let me get into this.
Brent, real quick.
Yeah.
I just looked up skinwalkers and I found 14 facts about skinwalkers that'll freak you out. Ooh. And I guess skinwalkers have been known to dig up graves.
Wow.
And the reason is some skinwalkers can take the powder from a corpse and then use the dust as a poison on their victims.
Oh, dear.
That's yeah. Not good.
That's not good.
Wow.
One of the stories tonight, I think, is going to talk a little bit about that. Oh. So just as a little foreshadowing here. But the first one is kind of a longer story, but let's get into this if you guys are ready. Are you ready, sir?
Yeah, let's do this.
All right, let's do this. So the first one is, my grandmother on my mother's side has always been really superstitious, for lack of a better word. And she's not religious, but she does believe in a lot of the paranormal stuff. Her mom is a full-blooded Navajo, and her father was Irish. Either way, she'd never been anywhere east of Montana, and she grew up in Nevada. One year, while I was in grade school, we went to visit her, and most of the visit was pretty uneventful. Typical, boring old people stuff, except she always kept her curtains drawn shut and would always peek out the window, and when someone asked her what she was doing, she would reply, "Yenaldushi is watching me." This went on for nearly the entire visit, until a few days before we were due to leave. My grandmother and my then baby brother, he's 19 now, were in the front yard that evening, planting flowers, when all of a sudden, my grandmother starts shouting, insert my little brother's name, "Get away from that creature, it's not safe." Of course, being in Nevada, we all assumed that my brother had found a scorpion or a rattlesnake or something, so we all run outside. To see my grandmother clutching my little brother and shaking in terror against the side of the house. Standing out in the yard was a large black Great Dane-sized dog. It was staring at my grandmother with an intensity I'd never seen before. It looked up at us, gave it a little huff, and then bounded off. I don't remember if it moved unusually fast or not, but do remember that it had really deep yellow eyes. When my mother asked my grandmother what had happened, she kept repeating, "The Andalusi has found us." She moved a couple of weeks after that. Wow. So for some reason, she had felt that this being, this creature was looking for her, mm-hmm. her whole life.
That's scary.
Right. I wonder, and I don't pretend to know a whole lot about what one would do to be marked by one of these creatures to, be pursued and such, but that's got to be a terrifying way to live.
Yeah, no doubt.
I find that absolutely freaky, don't you?
Always looking over your shoulder for some creepy crawly that you may or may not ever see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's kind of creepy. Yeah.
It is. It's really, really creepy. It's
scary, yeah. as a matter of fact, this thing I have here also says, where'd it go? Gosh, this one it says, yeah, they want your face. Some traditions suggest they'll steal your very skin.
Oh.
Skinwalkers can transform into any kind of animal, including you.
Oh, that's so no.
Now, so with that in mind, maybe that's what the skinwalker was looking for in this person, was to steal their skin.
Mm.
Isn't that a scary thought?
That is so dark. That is so dark and horrible. Oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah. That's not good at all.
No.
I'm starting to understand a little more about what the deal is with these things. I didn't know that. That's really disturbing. And granted, ladies and gentlemen, we all have Western sensibilities, so a lot of this stuff sounds like, oh, okay, taking your skin, right? Better get back on your meds. But these traditions have been around for thousands of years, ladies and gentlemen, and people do experience strange, strange, weird things in the paranormal. So I think, if I've learned one thing throughout the years and years of being passionate about the paranormal and the years of doing this show, I really believe anything is possible,
Yeah.
And it's certainly not something to be trifled with. So that's creepy. So I got another one here. Don, are you ready?
Yeah, go for it.
So it says, my uncle and cousin saw a large deer on the side of the road. And when they got closer, it hopped up atop the fence like a bipedal man. One time driving back from Gallup, my dad saw an old Navajo woman walking on the side of the road. And when he slowed to offer her a ride, she took off into the plains quickly with inhuman speed. Once when I was a kid, my family was at my aunt's house, which is in a rural secluded area, when we were toyed with by a few entities. They would make animal noises, and when we looked in the direction from which the noises were coming, they would turn a flashlight on and off. The noises would come from all directions in increasingly shorter succession. Usually when I'm there on the reservation visiting alone at night, I will feel the presence of evil and dread, panic, and paranoia will wash over me, and as sudden as it comes, it will leave.
Mm.
Wow. That sounds almost, well, other than the woman and the deer, some of that stuff sounds like it could be, spiritual, more so than a physical thing, but it's hard to know, I guess.
Yeah, it's the whole, vibration, the energy vibration, I think.
Mm-hmm.
If an entity is near you, whether that be a shadow person, but an apparition or something like that, more spiritual, like you said, I can imagine there being a bad vibe. But, even when we talk about Sasquatch, though, we talk about sometimes a feeling of dread from being near them as well.
Sure.
Now, that might just be like their, force field. They put that out there to keep things away, or maybe even to draw them in. Who knows?
That's a good point. And I guess when you think about it, is it something that's from these beings, or is it some latent sense that people have when something dark or dangerous is around? I mean, which one is it? And that's where I get tripped up. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Like a fight or flight kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it some sixth sense that kicks in, that maybe it's like an ancient genetic trigger that, just knows when these things are around, and like, boom, it just kicks in and we go into that fight or flight. You're right. So
yeah,
very curious, but very interesting. So the next one, my uncle is Mexican and Native American. And this happened in the Mojave Desert in Southern California. He was driving around with his girlfriend late at night, and they saw something that looked like a huge black dog on the side of the road. Well, he slowed down, and the dog began crossing the road, and instead of walking like a normal dog would, this thing moved like a toy rocking horse. He said it stopped in the middle of the road and stared right at them, and its eyes had a red glow. My uncle is the most badass person I know, and it scared the hell out of him. Yeah, that's, you know, it's one thing to be a tough guy, but it's a whole different thing to be, you know, dealing with something that just defies all logic.
Yeah.
You know, that's double tough.
Wow. You know, apparently the word in Navajo, the Navajo language, and I'm going to butcher this. You've been saying it as well. The Yi Naal Dushi.
Yi Naal Dushi. Yeah, that's what I said in the first story. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It translates to those who walks on all fours.
Mm-hmm.
So, and so there was a picture of this. I can only describe it as a ghoul walking, and it looks like its legs are bent at 90 degree angles forward, and then its elbows are turned out, walking on all fours, hands and feet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of, you know, I get kind of a rake sense from that, but apparently that's more akin to the skinwalkers.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. And that's a great question. Like, where is the lines on these things?
Yeah.
And sometimes I think it's just a bleed through. Like, people see a rake or a ghoul, and maybe that's what the Native Americans have sometimes historically described as skinwalkers. And, and you know, I mean, it's just these, there's no real unification of idea. It's just these regional terms that get dropped in. And so maybe there's something to that.
Mm.
So very strange. Very, very strange.
Scary.
It is scary. It really is. It's like really freaky weird. So I have another one. This happened about 12 years ago. My family owns a farm in the heart of an Indian reservation. One winter, I was home for Christmas taking care of the farm while my parents were away Christmas shopping. And as I was home by myself, way late in the night, I hear all of our cows freaking out. I knew it had to be the wild dogs that are rampant in the area, so I throw on some boots, grab a shotgun, load it up, and head out into the field. This was a perfect scenario for a horror movie. It was cloudy, and there was a full moon, but it was breaking through clouds just right to light up all the snow. I ran out into the middle of the field, and just in time, I see two dogs, and they were standing up, facing each other, and fighting, and I think, perfect, two for one. So I pump a shell into the chamber of Mr. 12 gauge, and then it happened. The two dogs heard the rack, and they both stopped, looking over at me, and ran away on their back legs. Immediately, I froze, and every ghost story about skinwalkers and all other Native legends I grew up with flew through my mind. Keep in mind, I'm a white guy, and up until then, these were all just boogeyman stories and native kids to tell to scare us. And that night, they became absolutely real to me. That's got to be a sobering thought. I mean, you know, even being armed, when you see two dogs run away on their back legs,
right?
That's now all the rules are out the window. You know, everything just changed in 1 second there. It's like, okay, I don't even understand this reality anymore. What the hell just happened?
Right.
And you know, he probably could have got off a shot, you know, but when you see that, it's just like you go full stupid, you know? You go like full on stupid. It's like logic leaves your mind and nothing is making sense all of a sudden. Wow, what a terrifying sight.
I would be scared.
I know. Yeah, and I think every one of us would. And like that other story is like, my uncle's the toughest guy I knew. Well, yeah, but once you start changing realities, nobody's tough anymore. We're all just little kids going, what the hell was that? You know, it's just a shift in a paradigm like right now, boom, it's changed. Very, very, very strange.
Yuck.
So this one's kind of a longer one, but I think this is maybe the one that's talking about the corpse stuff,
right?
That you were referring to before. So I was spending a month with my cousins at my grandma's house, and it was August, and my cousins' ages ranged from 10 to 15, and I was the oldest, being 15. I was staying with a 10, 13, and 14-year-old, and we stayed up telling scary stories often, but one night a few weeks in, we decided to make a campfire out back. My grandma's house is in a rural suburb. The neighbors aren't too far when you're driving down the road to her house, but in the backyard, it's thick forest and man-made paths through it. Each house is on a hill, so only part of the basement was actually underground. That isn't really important until later, though. So we're towards the east side of her yard, in a smallish patch of open land. You could see the neighboring yards from there, and there was probably 3/4 of a mile to each side of us that belonged to my grandmother. It was maybe 11 at night, and we were playing truth or dare and after telling scary stories, and my 14-year-old cousin dared me and the 13-year-old to go walk through the paths for 10 minutes or so, and I said yeah right away. I wasn't scared and was usually rather level-headed, but my younger cousin was a bit more hesitant. Well, we didn't bring a flashlight because it wasn't pitch dark yet, and we could see enough to not die. So we were walking through the paths for about 5 minutes and could barely see the fire through the trees when we decided to turn. In the middle of the path was a large dog-like creature hunched over with its front hands an inch from the ground. I remember most of was how its eyes were so bright white, and it was a humanoid dog shaped with a human head, but a dog-like body with human hands and feet. It looked right at us, and I know I was paralyzed with fear as it dashed away the opposite way from us, towards a creek that ran through the yard. Eventually, my cousin and I screamed bloody murder, and the other cousins and my grandmother ran to us, and I don't remember much here because I was really disoriented and I couldn't think properly. But I did wake up in bed, so I assume that it was brought up to the house, so that I was brought up to the house. All the kids slept in the basement in a big room with sliding glass doors to the outside, as the room was on the side that wasn't underground, and my bed was pressed against a big glass window. And I could see my cousins playing outside down below. The house is in Michigan, so it gets slightly chilly even at the end of August, and there was a slight breeze, so I put on a jacket and ran to join them outside, skipping breakfast, not wanting to miss out on anything fun. When I got down, I could tell that they weren't playing, but rather were running to get my grandmother. Her dogs, both of them, were dead. They were ripped up. That night we went to bed early, and I woke up at maybe 2 in the morning because I felt something hit my head. My cousins were all sitting on the double bed opposite me on the other side of the room, and there was a one bunk bed and 2 double beds, and the double beds for me and my 14-year-old cousin. Well, they were being quiet and staring at me. The 13-year-old nodded his head towards the window. I froze. They all looked afraid. I turned my head slightly to the side, and I saw a really messed up looking face pressed to the window with gaping eyes looking down at me. I screamed so loud, and it bolted. My grandmother called the police after I told her what had happened, and they found nothing. I went home after that, and I have never been there during the night ever again. Mm. Oh, my God. Okay, so that's not the one I was thinking it was.
Right.
But still, how creepy is that? Now, that does, like you said, that one does kind of sound like the rake or ghoul kind of thing, right?
Yeah, I would have to say so, yeah.
They said it's got a human head, but it was on a dog-like body that was hunched over, and the hands were just like an inch from the ground. They weren't actually on the ground. So that really does kind of similarly sound like a lot of these ghoul descriptions anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know. Very, very horrible.
You know, there's such a large, you know, so many different descriptions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to, you know, go with just one. You have to really consider the other things that come along with it, because everybody's perception is different. Right. And I suppose these all look differently to different people, but they all have that similar storyline or, you know, do you know what I mean?
Well, they seem to have a similar theme, but what I'm taking from this is that they don't have any one appearance. They can appear like a deer. They can appear like a dog. They can appear like something else. This humanoid thing. So I'm even through these stories, we're hearing several different descriptions, but you know, they all seem to have, I don't know, maybe these stories are a little more disparate, but they seem to have the theme that they are really intelligent. They seem to be intelligent, and that they stalk people, and they, you know, they do what they do because they are perhaps some form of abomination. I don't know, but maybe they don't have a given appearance. Maybe it's whatever they want to look like.
Well, you know, now that I think about it though, because I just read that thing that it'll steal your skin and it can look like anything, including you.
Right.
Well, here's another thing, another one on that list. It says, though it's scary to think of them as humans, skinwalkers are most frequently wolves, coyotes, foxes, eagles, owls, or crows. And it says, be careful the next time you stare down a wolf.
Oh.
Now, there was another one here.
Let's save those though for after the break though.
Okay, cool.
I would love for you to go through that list collectively, because I think that's great information and it will really punctuate what we've read here in the stories, if you don't mind.
Yeah, no problem.
But I think we're at a good place now for a break, ladies and gentlemen. So hold your horses. We'll get back to more of the Paranormal Portal and stories of the Skinwalker when we return. grab a rest, get a refreshment, and meet us back here. Don't go away. Hey guys, Brent Thomas here of the Paranormal Portal Podcast. We just wanted to take a moment to introduce you to the Paranormal Portal store. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, leggings, stickers, mugs, you name it, you might find it over there. So head on over to teespring.com/stores/paranormal-portal, and you too can help fund the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Thank you so much for all that you do, and thank you for being a part of our Paranormal Portal family. Ladies and gentlemen, and we're back at it, and the plot thickens, of course. Tonight Don and I are talking about the Skinwalker phenomena, and this is a really creepy one. There doesn't seem to be any one description. There doesn't seem to be any one consistency to the whole thing, as I understand it. They have several different appearances. They seem to be of human intelligence. They're, you know, as I understand it, and maybe this is something you'll get to later, Don, when you read through that list, but I believe that they are supposed to be like dark medicine people, like medicine, you know, medicine man or woman or shaman, and they kind of do this dark magic instead of a light magic, for lack of a better word, I guess. But they seem to have these weird pacts that allow them to actually change their appearance and take on not only the appearance of other things, but also the ability of other things. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, it does. Mm, yeah.
That's just creepy. So we've gone through a few so far, ladies and gentlemen, but we've got several more to go. So I guess I can get on to that. You ready, Don?
Go for it.
Okay. So in July 20, 2004, near Gallup, New Mexico, I had my first and only encounter with a skinwalker. Before this, I used to say, I'll believe it when I see it. God, that sounds like you, Don. Well, I'm a believer now. What I saw was not full human nor full animal. I was moving and just completed and cleaned out and was with my 16-year-old or 10-year-old son, rather. We had called it a night and were headed to our new place. As we walked out the front door, I saw a figure move from behind my neighbor's car to a nearby tree that stood between our apartments. It didn't have red glowing eyes, snarling teeth, or a rotten smell. It did move quickly, but not quick enough that to avoid the light from a nearby light and porch lights, and it didn't look at me or come towards me. It moved as if it was trying to avoid being seen, and I was within 15 feet of it, but I did not look back to fully inspect it. What I saw was a wolf-like animal that sort of resembled the beast in The Beauty of the Beast, just not cartoonish. It had brown fur that completely covered it. It wasn't a pelt, but it was a very large wolf. It didn't have any human traits except that it walked on its hind legs and cowered behind a tree as we got into our vehicle. When we got in, I asked my son, "Did you see that?" Thankfully, he hadn't. My brother-in-law insists that it wasn't a skinwalker because I would never have seen it. To this day, I can picture what it looked like. I know they exist, and I pray I never encounter one again.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know, I don't know. Maybe they kind of prey on human being animals. You know, like the grandmother had the two dogs torn up.
Right.
Now, were they just shredded or were they consumed partially or what? I don't know. But it seems to me that if they were truly hunting people, there would be a lot more dead people.
Well, that depends on if anybody's telling about it.
Well, that's true. That's very true. But in this case, so this person was literally 15 feet away. I mean, my God, the studio room is like just a little bit less than 15 feet. Right. And if I was that close to something like that, I would be just really having problems. I would be having all kinds of problems. And this guy sounds like he's just, well, we got in the car and we left.
It's like, just a thing. So we just did our thing.
Yeah, but what a strange encounter for sure.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay, so here's the next one. This didn't happen to me, but a very close friend of mine, and I've heard a lot about coyotes and skinwalkers and had a weird experience or two with coyotes. Creepiest was waking up in my sleeping bag being surrounded in paw prints without ever hearing them during the night. That's got to be a horrible feeling to know that they were just traipsing all around you and you had no clue. And never anything paranormal, so to speak. Patrick's story, however, kept me from going back to a favorite backcountry secret stash. He was leaving the area one morning. He had been camping there for a couple of days and said there was a coyote that always seemed to be close by, like in his peripheral vision, but never overt. He loaded up his truck and started to drive down the washed out fire road. And at the end of the wash, he could see the coyote following him. When he pulled out onto the road, it was running next to him. Now, he was freaked out, so he sped up, and he said he was going about 35 miles an hour or so, and it was running along besides him. Definitely not possible. When he looked back, the coyote was running on two legs and was wearing what Patrick said looked like buckskin pants, An instant later, it was a person wearing a coyote fur, keeping pace with this truck. When he looked again, it was gone.
Mm.
We never went back to the Grove after that. I don't blame you. I'd say that's a good get the hell out sign to me.
Yes.
That's it.
Definitely that.
Wow.
Anything that can run as fast as a car.
Yeah, I mean, 35 miles an hour and up. I mean, that's just not human speed anymore. That's no, in a whole different, no. That's in quadrupedal range, like a wolf or I guess a dog could run about 35, couldn't they?
You know, I wouldn't, I would say no.
Really?
I would say, you know what, let me look it up.
Yeah, that's
let me just look up wolf speed of a wolf.
Right.
Speed of wolf. All right, let's see what Mr. Oh my goodness. Okay, no, you're right.
Okay.
31 to 37 miles an hour. Yeah, okay.
Okay. So yeah, so, I mean, yeah. That's a pretty significant speed though for and a wolf can move. I mean, they can move, so they have real long strides. Now this is a coyote, but still it was keeping pace with the truck. And that's plenty fast.
Yeah. Oh, a coyote is even more. It's 35 to 40, 43, 45.
Oh, okay.
It's probably because they're a lot. They're smaller.
They're lighter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
But the thing I think with wolves is that they, not that this is a show about wolves, but they aren't the speediest animals, but they have a hell of an endurance. Like they can run animals into the dirt just because they'll be too exhausted to continue. And the wolves just won't quit. They'll just continue to push. So, excuse me. Sorry about that. All right. I got another one here. I decided to join my best friend, Karen, for a 3-day stay at her grandmother's place at the Rez. And her grandmother lives near a place called Tuba City, Arizona, in the middle of nowhere, but surrounded by rural homes. We go to college together, and I was kind of interested to know about the Navajo tradition. The first day we stayed, it was pretty chill. Nothing out of the ordinary, but her grandmother, not that old, maybe around 67, said that a stray dog came out of nowhere and wouldn't leave. To me, it did act kind of strange and was really ugly looking. Black, shaggy coat looked like a mix between a German Shepherd and a lab. That night, we were watching a movie in the living room. We had big windows that looked out into the front where the cars were parked. Nothing fancy. With the curtains wide open, Grandma was in the kitchen cooking dinner, and we kept watching her movie. Next to the window was a medium bookshelf where the DVDs are kept. Karen went to put back a DVD that we had just watched, but she freaked out because that stray black dog was staring at us through the window, standing on top of the wood box outside. Not something normal for dogs to do from my point of view or hers. Usually my dog, which is a house dog, or scratches the door, or res dogs aren't house dogs, and dogs inside houses are frowned upon in Navajo tradition, meant to protect the house and owner. The other dog seemed to stay away from it. Karen opened the door and yelled at it to get off the box. It ran off behind the shed. We went to Tuba City to get some groceries, came back to the house, and the dog was nowhere to be seen, nothing unusual. Grandmother went to visit some people, so it was just Karen and I. About 5 o'clock, we heard someone trying to open the door. Both of us looked out since there had been no car heard and no dogs barking. Looking out the living room window to the door, there was the dog trying to open the door with its paws.
Oh, wow.
Two paws wrapped around the brass doorknob, standing on its hind legs. I thought that was weird, but wasn't really freaked out. Karen was, though. She opened the door and chased it off. Grandma came back later, and Karen told her Grandma didn't like what she heard. Got ready to sleep. We slept in the spare bedroom since it had two beds. One window with curtains opened a little. We turned off the light, but there was a sound coming from on top of the roof. Pitter-patter footsteps and scratching sounds and panting. It then sounded like it jumped off onto the large plastic water barrel that they had, and at first we heard what sounded like barking. But as it grew louder, The other dog seemed to be barking at something also. But all of a sudden, something was running around the house barking. And it was no dog. Nope, it wasn't. This barking sounded human, a deep male voice, barking like it knew that we knew it wasn't a dog.
Mm.
Woof, woof, ruff, ruff, arf, arf, arf. Just exactly like that. Adding the W's, R's, and A's. And then panting again at by the window. And we started freaking out. Karen decided to, in my opinion was stupid, open the curtains to look out. And there was the stray dog on its hind legs looking into our bedroom. But this time, it stunk. And what I thought were two black holes in the neck, another pair of eyes twinkled. And I think of those ugly, glossy spider eyes staring at you. Mm. And the paws were deformed-looking hands with overgrown, somewhat thick and sharp fingernails. Again, both screaming and shutting the curtains closed, Grandma came running through the door and seeing it, first thing she did was grab ashes from the fireplace, load three shells into the shotgun from under the bed, bless herself in Navajo and went outside to shoot it. Yelling in Navajo about how the thing wasn't welcome there and to get the hell out of there for it to go linger somewhere else. Them both being traditional, the next day they called a medicine man to come over and put cedar in. He prayed over everyone with cedar smoke and an eagle feather, blessed the place, made us eat bitter herbs called eagle's gull or something, and gave me an arrowhead. Apparently I needed to carry one for protection in a little pouch called corn pollen. Seems to work pretty well. The medicine man said that the dog was a skinwalker, which in Navajo is a long word, but I call them Yoshis. But the body of the dog, a body of the stray dog, which was killed by the skinwalker, made an illusion so we wouldn't know it wasn't a real dog. He also said the Yoshis tend to harm people by using some sort of human bone straw to spit at someone. Think spitballs, only deadlier, and get human bones into them. Doctors can't detect it, but the medicine man that day pulled a piece of human skull out of Grandma's right shoulder. Pretty big, about 2 inches long and 1 centimeter thick. It was real because we watched him pull it out of her. Ooh. And that was intense. Wowza.
Wow.
How's that? Yeah. How's that for the creepy meter, Don?
You know, yeah, you know, so, it, you know, at first it sounded like maybe there was really a stray dog, but then it was killed or consumed or whatever that is by the skinwalker and became, you know, because it says that they can change into anything. They steal your skin.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I wonder if that's what happened there. And then staring through the window at it.
Yeah, but it, yeah, but yeah. Staring through the window at it, and then they saw like two holes in the neck, and they could see eyes twinkling from those two holes in the neck of the dog. So that's like,
oh,
right?
Oh, now that I'm really examining this, it's getting worse.
Right. It's just getting uglier and uglier.
Crack that egg, and you don't want to know what's in it.
Yeah, I know. Oh. This is a whole bunch of creepy. And I don't pretend to know this kind of stuff. I mean, this is not my normal wheelhouse. Right. You know, I know quite a bit about Bigfoot. I know quite a bit about ghosts. I know a little bit about UFOs, but this kind of stuff is a whole different playground than, you know, the normal paranormal. I mean, this is some bizarre, bizarre stuff.
I don't know if I'd call it a playground.
Well, I tongue in cheek, but you know what I mean, right? Obviously, it's not where I want to play, but yeah, it just gives you a whole new respect for, you know, the possibilities, I guess, or the terrible things that could be out there. Now, are they actually people? Maybe not. Maybe there's something else. And, you know, I don't know. I keep trying to find reason because when I think of people, I have a hard time thinking of, you know, beings that can transform that are actually people. You know, to me, I have trouble with it, but maybe it's something that looks kind of like a person, but really isn't a person. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you just run into these walls with logic. It's like, because I don't know if these stories are true, right? But I believe, I mean, they are represented as truth. And I believe the people that wrote them may very well believe they are true. And so what is possible? What is impossible? Well, you know, if you can believe that there are these disembodied energies running around haunting people, and you can believe that there are, you know, giants in the forest walking around, and there are dog men walking around, and you can believe there are people coming from millions of light years away to come, you know, abduct and tear apart cows, then, you know, this stuff isn't that far off of the norm anymore, because it's just another facet of all this, you know, this huge world of unknown that we don't understand.
Definitely.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's the list I had for the show tonight. So wow. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I think that these stories are absolutely fascinating.
Wow. Yeah. You know, so you mentioned the grandmother grabbing the ashes out of the fireplace, I think it was.
Yeah.
And loading up her shotgun. Now, what did she see? Now, there, okay, she grabbed the ashes, but what did she do with them?
Well, it says she grabbed the ashes and blessed herself in Navajo and okay. and the shotgun. So I imagine the ashes and the blessing were maybe to mark herself somehow.
Right. Like, you know? like last rites and the oil.
Yeah, maybe, you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either. It's very strange, though.
Well, maybe because this list that I read, it said they grab the powder of a corpse and use it as poison. I wonder if you can do a similar thing back to them. So, but that was just ashes out of the
fireplace. Yeah.
Fireplace. But, you know, I mean, a lot of people back, when fire was the major source and used for everything, you know, they used to throw chicken bones and stuff in the fire. Maybe, you know, I don't know. I'm postulating.
It's hard to know. I don't know.
Crazy.
It's all kinds of crazy, but I know you got that list now. Do you want to roll through that list for us?
Yeah, we can certainly do that. So it says 15 terrifying facts about the Skinwalker legend. And it says Skinwalkers, evil shapeshifters, are a mainstay of Navajo tradition and legend. Although the Navajo tend to keep their culture to themselves, they indeed consider it dangerous to speak openly about the mythical creatures with outsiders. Some of the eeriest facts about the Skinwalker have managed to creep into our culture at large. These are some of the freakiest Skinwalker facts we've found. 1. Skinwalkers are actually known as witches in the Navajo culture, and they used to be humans. So that would, you know, definitely speak to having human, you know, hands, feet, possibly even head. Right. Then number 2, I've already read this. It says, yeah, they want your face. Some traditions suggest they'll steal your skin. Skinwalkers will transform into any animal, including you. So maybe, you know, something that looks like a dog with the hands and feet of a man was in transition, possibly.
Wow. Yeah, that's true. That's jeez.
I know, huh?
All right, continue.
All right. 3, don't even think about looking a Skinwalker in the eye. That's how they absorb themselves into your body and then control your every move.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, that's a possession right there.
Wow. Jeez. Yeah, it is. It is very much so.
Wow. The Navajo tribe is notorious for not talking about Skinwalkers. They are frightened of supernatural repercussions if there's too much discussion about it. So that's why they don't talk to outsiders. Oh. Apparently, it's okay to talk to other tribe members,
or
people of that tradition, those traditions and such. But anybody else, it's verboten. So, wow. Yeah. And you mentioned that at the top of the show, too. So, yeah. Though it's scary to think of them as human, Skinwalkers are most frequently seen as wolves, coyotes, foxes, eagles, owls, or crows. So be careful the next time you stare down a wolf. 6 is there's a ranch in Utah called Skinwalker Ranch because there have been so many sightings around there. We already know the name for Skinwalkers in Navajo. It means he who walks on all fours. Skinwalkers can run far greater distances than normal people. They're said to be able to run for 200 miles at a time.
Oh, wow.
That's one way to get around pretty quick, huh?
Wow. Yeah, that's some good mileage.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay, so stay away from graveyards. Skinwalkers like to hang out while they dig up graves quickly. And then that leads to, but why dig up graves? For the powder of the corpses that they use as poison for their victims.
Oh.
When they're not transformed into animals, witnesses have described the skinwalkers as hollowed out creatures that look like little dogs. Now that goes back to the story about the skinwalker with the eyes, you know, the one you just read about staring into it and seeing eyes, two holes in the neck. Yeah. That's creepy. Now it just creeps out me out even more. It also says that skinwalkers are not allowed to enter a home unless invited. It's common decency. Well, I'm not going to let, that's like, you know, hi, little black eyed child, come on in. No, that's okay. I'll take a pass on that one. It's a hard pass, as a matter of fact.
That is creepy. And I wonder what that is, because that you will see that that's the black eyed kids as well. They can't come in. These skinwalkers can't come in. You know, there's, of course the old vampire legend, they can't come in unless they're invited.
Right.
Very strange.
Oh, you know what? And as you were reading that one, the grandmother was shouting at it in Navajo that you're not allowed to be here. Go away. You know, you can't be here. And then, the same story, it talked about the, people coming over using cedar smoke to clear the house.
Yes.
And using cedar to buy. I got the feeling, and I get this, I'll tell you why I feel this way. I feel that maybe they had also put like cedar bough above the thresholds,
sure,
the doorways. Because remember, we talked to our friend Naysay.
Yep.
And Naysay said that putting cedar boughs above your entryways and things like that will keep out those spirits and those negative entities.
Yep.
So that's really great. It is. You know,
it is very good. I mean, that's great advice. Plus, yeah. I imagine it smells nice.
Well, yeah. As a matter of fact, our friend Paisley, she's got some, I don't know why it's hanging in my studio, but she's, her and her friend, her and Blacktree, did some, cedar smudge sticks. That's what they are. Smudge sticks. And they're hanging in my window for some reason. Oh, cool. I don't know.
Very cool.
But, so apparently you can smudge with, cedar as well. So there you go. And that probably does smell pretty darn good.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it says, so you want to become a skinwalker? There are many different theories on how to become one, but the most prevalent speaks of an official ceremony where people become skinwalkers through a gathering with specific charms and chants. Hmm. One of the ritual acts to become a skinwalker involves killing and then eating someone close to them. By performing this act, the soon-to-be skinwalker loses any humanity left in them. But beware, once you're a skinwalker, you can't undo it. Now, that's something that obviously cannot be quantified, qualified, or clarified by anybody. I think that one's more of a speculation.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
So, yeah, just a kind of a, you know, proviso there. And so number 15, it says, if you can get past their endurance, shape-shifting abilities, and possible coven, it's said that you can kill a skinwalker by calling them by their true pre-skinwalker name.
Oh, wow.
So that's like the story about if you know, like, say, a demon's real name or true name, you control them or banish them, whatever that may be. Sure. So interesting.
That is wild. Wow. That's crazy.
That is all just kinds of creepiness.
So that's your list?
That's the list.
That was pretty good. I got, there's something here. It says, you can't be born a skinwalker. I'm Navajo, and the only way to become a skinwalker is to kill one of your closest family members and then go to an evil medicine man. So I don't know. There's lots of ideas out there, I guess. But I can't imagine. I mean, how... how would that be a life? I mean, granted, you would be capable of doing something that or things that were not normal, but I think in these cases, these are abominational kind of things. These are not, you know, like, hey, watch me move this book with my mind because I learned how to do this. This is, hey, I'm going to go kill this dog so I can be a dog now. And that's, right. I mean, it's just so much darkness and it's vile and it seems contrary to anything good. You know, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I don't really necessarily understand what it is we're talking about, but what I do understand, it just seems like these are the things that, you know, that I don't even know how to explain it. These are like the antithesis of good is something like this.
Yeah.
Is what it sounds like. It's like such a dark, vile, soulless creature, with, you know, no remorse. I mean, it is the psychopath, sociopath kind of thing with superhuman ability.
Yeah.
So that's horrid. Hey. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, this has been our journey into one of the darker corners of the paranormal, but, I hope it's been informative. You know, I'm absolutely fascinated by this, but very cautiously so, because there's some things that are so dark that once you kind of touch them, even with your interest, you feel like you need to take a shower.
Right.
And this is one of those things that I just, you know, I don't want to play around with it too much. It's kind of like talking about demonic stuff. I don't like to talk about that much either, because it's just once you go down those dark corridors, it just gets really freaky. And I mean, you know, it's stuff that we have to do, I guess, once in a while on the show, just because it's a valid phenomena, but it's certainly not one that I enjoy as much.
Right.
Just to be honest.
Yeah. You know, but you know, once, like you said, you know, that's what the show is about, and it's there. It's in our face. It gets brought up enough. You know, we talk to enough people that mention them that, you know, we've got to do some kind of coverage on it. So here it is.
Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Paranormal Portal take on skinwalkers. Not exhaustive. It's not maybe even that in depth, but we definitely gave you a plate full of people that claim to have encountered them, what they saw, what they experienced, with a little bit of background on the phenomena as it's understood. Anyway, but we hope you enjoyed the ride.
Definitely, quite a ride it was.
We're now arriving back at the station here, ladies and gentlemen. So as you disembark the vehicle, make sure you got all your purses and belongings with you and move quietly towards the exit.
Yeah.
But
yeah, quietly.
Yeah. But that's going to wrap it up for us tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Don, anything in closing?
Nothing. Just everything I always say every 3 times a week is thanks. Join us again. Subscribe, like, share, do whatever you got to do to get us spread out there, because if you like us, you're probably one of us.
Yeah, exactly. You're one of the family, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for being part of the Paranormal Portal family. And, you know, follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Paranormal Portal Radio. Follow us on YouTube. Check out our YouTube videos, where there are 7 live shows a week, all at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. But the videos are always there for your browsing pleasure. Head over to youtube.com/Paranormal Portal. And find us on Twitter at Paranormal Portal, P-O-R-T-L. And again, if you got a story of your own you'd love to submit to us, we'd love to hear it. Email us at paranormalportalradio@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. We love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice, take care of each other, help each other out. Find the magic in every day, and remember to laugh as much as you can. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Testing is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Martin, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.